Women in the Workplace audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Chapter 1. Is it right for women to be in the workplace? When I first intended to speak on the subject of women in the workplace, my wife Amy asked me, "What makes you think you are qualified to talk on this subject?" I replied, "My approach is simple. I am going to study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, find out what the Bible says on the subject and present it to the audience. So, what I share here is obviously not from my own experience but purely from my study of the Word. Taking a biblical approach to the subject, let us learn to apply it in our lives. Is it right for women to be in the workplace? People have differing opinions on this. Some say yes while others say no. Women should stay at home and not step outside. People may even quote the scripture to substantiate their opinions. But let us get a biblical perspective on this. A biblical perspective on women. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Why was woman created? God created woman for two simple reasons: to be a companion and an aid to man. She was to be his helpmeet. In Hebrew, this means opposite part or counterpart. So, the woman was not created to be man's subordinate part but to be his counterpart, a coequal part. Man and woman were thus created coequal. Therefore, the relationship between man and woman was intended to be reciprocal in nature. They were to be aid and companion to each other. But at the time of the fall, all this changed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." God initially designed man and woman to be counterparts, but from the day of the fall the woman became subordinate to man, her desire and longing had become toward her husband, and he ruled over her. Thus, because of the fall, today we have a fallen world where man dominates. This is the fallen state and not God's intended state. But the good news is that in redemption, Christ restored the woman back as coequal to man. There is neither male nor female in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Both man and woman are now co-heirs, in Greek, participants together, of the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Man must understand now that the woman is the coequal part in the things of God. However, in the unredeemed fallen world, we still see predominantly that man dominates. The world has not been redeemed completely, and hence this structure continues. The women of the Bible. In our study of God's Word, we find that God has used women in different capacities throughout history, outside their homes. A quick list of examples. Miriam the prophetess. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Women helped in building the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 35, verse 22 and verses 25 to 26. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands, and brought what they had spun, of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. God wanted women to be taught the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. Deborah. Deborah, a prophetess, was also a judge in Israel, Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Jael. Jael was a homemaker who gave Israel a mighty victory by nailing a man on the head, Judges chapter 4, verse 21. God used women to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 12. And next to him was Shallum the son of Halahesh, leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. Esther. Esther was a queen who brought deliverance to God's people. Women ministered to Jesus. In the New Testament, we read about women who ministered to Jesus. Mark chapter 15, verse 41. Who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass, afterward, that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Lydia. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Lydia, a businesswoman at Philippi, was a trader in purple cloth. God used her to open her house to bring about the church at Philippi. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed, Acts chapter 16, verse 40. Aquila and Priscilla. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. After these things Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers, a business couple who were Paul's ministry partners. At least in 3 other places, Paul refers to them as his co-workers, Romans chapter 16, verses 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 19, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. Phoebe, Eunia, and other women. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. I commend to you Phoebe our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Eunia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Phoebe, a deaconess, was in charge of some business of the church. Eunia, a woman apostle, was a co-worker with Paul. There were other women too who partnered with Paul, who he referred to as women who labored with me in the gospel, Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. This is an overview of how God involved women in his work by using them outside the context of the traditional home setting. A woman's primary calling. The Bible is very clear that a woman's primary calling is to be a wife to her husband, a mother to her children, and a keeper of the house. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Guide the house, oikodespodio, in Greek equals to be the head of, that is rule a family, guide the house. Titus chapter 2, verses 4-5. that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Keepers at home, oikoros, in Greek, from oikos, that is a dwelling, a family, a house, and ouros, which means a guard. Therefore oikoros, in Greek, means a stayer at home, that is, domestically inclined, or a good housekeeper, keeper at home. The woman must manage her household affairs and be a leader at home. How does she strike the right balance here? Is it right then for a woman to be involved outside in a workplace? The answer is yes. The case for women in the workplace. The Bible does not categorically state anywhere that women should not be in the workplace. In biblical interpretation, if the Bible does not oppose something, then it means that God allows us to make the right decision within the boundaries set by other related scriptures. For example, God said, "I am the Lord your healer," but He did not tell us to avoid taking medicines or going to the doctor. But some have misinterpreted that. We need to look to God for healing, but it is not wrong to take medicines or visit the doctor when we are ill. In the same way, God did say a woman's primary calling was to be a wife to her husband, a mother to her children, and a keeper of the house. But He did not say a woman is not to be involved in business. So do not misinterpret the scripture. The gifts of grace are given to people without regard to gender. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith; or ministry, let us use it in our ministering; he who teaches, in teaching; he who exhorts, in exhortation; he who gives, with liberality; he who leads, with diligence; he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. There will be women who will have gifts of leadership, administration, teaching, prophesying, and great financial abilities. These gifts have not been given based on gender. One of the obvious places where these gifts may have to operate will be in situations outside the home, at a workplace. In Proverbs chapter 31, the description of the woman is not only about her skills at home, but she is shown to be involved in activity outside her home, some of which are clearly indicative of her involvement in business. This is because she has been gifted and graced by God to do it. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 16, 19, and 24. She considers a field and buys it; from her profits she plants a vineyard. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. In cases where the man has abdicated his responsibility to the family. This is about the absentee father or the missing husband. In such cases, if the woman has children to look after, she has the liberty to take the lead, go out, earn, guide, and manage the house. We cannot quote to her Paul's instruction of, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully," 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, "and expect her to stay at home and be fed by the ravens." In cases where it may be necessary due to financial considerations. If the husband is at home and not working, or if what he is earning is not sufficient for the home, then the woman will need to go out and work to contribute financially and also manage the home. Reflection questions. How will you conclude that it is right for a woman to be in the workplace? Chapter 2. How can women in the workplace balance family, work, and their own spirituality? Balancing family, work, and their own spirituality is a bigger challenge for working women than it is for men. Men return home from work and expect to be served. But the working woman not only goes out and works, but also returns home and works again to serve her husband and children. God values the woman as an individual. Women must remember that God values them as individuals, independent of gender. According to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, one of the curses of the fall is that the woman's desire will be toward her husband. As a result of that, every woman looks to her husband as the source of her identity. She even carries his last name by default. Her whole world, including her self-worth, seems to come from him. Women, each of you need to take your eyes off your husband and focus your eyes on God, for he values you as a person. Your desire needs to be toward God. Look to him for your worth and identity. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no gender bias in God's kingdom. Women and men are co-equal as redeemed beings and in receiving blessings, anointing, gifting, callings, and ministry offices given by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and verses 11 to 12. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man, in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. In the same sense that a man willingly brings himself under the headship of Christ, or just as Christ, though being co-equal with the Father, willingly brought himself into obedience to the Father's will when on earth, so also a woman can willingly bring herself under the headship of man. This does not in any way diminish who she is, or does it make her inferior to man. Man and woman are interdependent in the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. And both man and woman derive their life, identity, and everything else from the Lord. Embrace your first love. Women, your first love is not your husband. Your primary focus is to build an intimate relationship with God. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. In this passage, Martha is symbolic of a typical housewife, doing all the cooking and focusing on serving Jesus. But Jesus tells her to relax and sit at his feet and do what Mary is doing. Women, your priority is to be a Mary before you become a Martha. Of course, it does not mean that you can be a Mary and make your husband a Martha to do the work at home while you sit at Jesus' feet. That would be failing in your responsibility. You must be both. Embrace and fulfill your primary calling as wife, mother, and homemaker. For many working women, this can be a big challenge. At the office, women get paid at the end of every month for their work and receive some rewards, recognition, or promotion which gives them a sense of accomplishment. On the other hand, at home, women do not get any of these. But if women fail in this primary calling, success in workplace will amount to nothing. Note, obviously, if you are not married, this does not apply to you yet. Or if you are well advanced in years, this is something you may have already fulfilled. Embrace your calling in the body of Christ. Women, before you embrace your calling in the workplace, you must remember that every woman has a place in the body of Christ. Women tend to neglect or forget that and rush off to work. There are many missing mothers in the body of Christ today. Women who are supposed to be godly role models to younger women are missing in the house of God because they are busy working outside. Every woman has a God-appointed ministry in the body of Christ. Discover and fulfill your function in the body of Christ. Embrace your call to the workplace. Women who are called to the workplace can make a significant contribution to the kingdom of God by accepting, embracing, and fulfilling their calling to the workplace. Practical instructions. Understand where your heart is. If your heart is content at home, there is nothing wrong. If your heart desires to make a mark in the workplace, perhaps that is something you do need to consider. Know your gifts and callings. Has God trained and gifted you for the workplace? Then do not waste what He has entrusted you with. Know your priorities. While it may be true that your heart desires to make a mark in the workplace and that you may even be gifted to do so, it is possible that for a season your priorities will be toward your children. This will be true especially when they are very young. You may sacrificially choose to invest that season of life into your children rather than stepping into the workplace. Know your limits. Each of us possess different capacities as to how much we can stretch ourselves without breaking down. You need to know your limits. Being a wife, mother, homemaker, and a woman in the workplace can be very challenging. If you have the capacity to be stretched, go for it. Else, stay within your limits. If you are called to work, then do not feel guilty, for God has gifted you and graced you, which means He wants you at your workplace. So, use that opportunity. If called to be a homemaker, do not feel inferior because you do not have a title as manager or CEO, but only that of wife and mother. If you embrace your first love, God, and embrace your primary calling, your reward will be great. For that is all He is asking of you. Just remember, each one of you must fulfill God's individual call and His will for your life. Reflection questions. What are some things that a woman can embrace to derive her life and identity from the Lord? Chapter 3. How do women handle workplace challenges? Stress. This section applies to both men and women. All of us experience stress, since we have responsibilities both at home and at the workplace. Looking at my life, where I must manage home and church, two things that have helped me in relieving stress and coping with pressure are: learning to rely on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Without denying that problem situations exist, instead of dwelling on them, we must dwell on the Lord who is bigger than them. He is the King who is above the storms, and so instead of dwelling on the waves and storms, when we choose to look up to the King who is above them, He will keep us in perfect peace. Sometimes I lose my cool and get tense too, but I do not stay too long in that state. I pull myself back and keep my mind focused on the Lord who is above the storms. Learning to meditate in God's Word. Meditating in God's Word is a great stress reliever. If a certain area is causing you great stress and pressure, meditate in the Word of God about that situation, and as you do that, it fills you with faith instead of fear. Fear produces stress. Faith produces confidence, helps you relax, and be at peace. Competition. Healthy competition is a good thing. When you run a 100-meter race, even if you are a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, and devil-chasing Christian, you cannot expect to run the race holding hands with other competitors in the race. You need to give your best, right from the start to the finish line. Healthy competition brings out the best. In the same way, it is all right to be competitive in the workplace. But do it the right way and look to God for your reward. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. There is nothing wrong in competing in an honest and ethical manner in the workplace. Integrity prevails. Male chauvinism and gender biases. Many organizations have an unwritten law that they only promote men. Many women may experience this bias. Also, women may not be paid as well as men of the same position. If you are in such a situation, do not fight. Just look up to the Lord and remember that promotion comes from Him and that God is able to prosper the work of your hands. He knows how to make someone move out of your way so that you can be promoted. Psalm chapter 75, verses 6-7. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge, He puts down one and exalts another. Sexual advances. Do you find yourself in situations where unless you do sexual favors for your boss, you stand no chance of being promoted? When there is a pressure to yield in those areas, stand your ground and say, no. Do not yield or compromise. Stay pure. Stay clean. Those who are married, stay faithful to your husband, no matter what. God is your protector in your workplace. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Dress with modesty, do not wear suggestive clothing and conduct yourself with decency. Titus chapter 2, verses 4-5. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Choice of occupation. Some women are involved in occupations like events management, entertainment, fashion designing, and the like. You do not have to run away from such occupations just because there is sin around. Whether you like it or not, evil exists in almost all industries and corporations. Jesus asked us to be in the world, not run away from it. Apply this principle to your occupation. John chapter 17, verses 14-18. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. If your occupation forces you to compromise on your faith, conduct, character, virtue, and integrity, then you may have to remove yourself from that position and move to another position within that industry. Stand up for Jesus and your convictions. Make a difference. Become an agent of change in your organization. God needs you where people are, because He needs your voice to speak to them, your hands to touch them, and your life to demonstrate love to them. So, stick around and make a difference even if the environment is morally challenging. However, ensure that you are spiritually strong to influence such an environment without becoming influenced by it. Reflection questions. Recall how you can overcome the common challenges that you, as a woman, may face at your workplace. Chapter 4. The pitfalls of dual-income families, how to avoid them. There are some dangers or pitfalls when both husband and wife are engaged in the workplace. Pitfalls. Independence and self-reliance instead of mutual dependence. When spouses have their individual bank accounts, cars, credit cards, and so on, they become more independent instead of building togetherness. Competition between the spouses. Qualified spouses who work in the same industry may begin to compare and start competing, in terms of salaries and positions held. Becoming married to the workplace. Some spouses say, I do at the altar and go to the workplace the next day and say, I do too. They spend all their time at work and become married to their workplaces. More money but less time. Do you want more money or more time to do important things together? At this point, spouses must make a choice. There are some things that money can never buy. Money cannot buy us a wonderful spouse or good children. A good marriage is built by spending time together. Good children are taught, raised, and trained. Overworked women. In a dual-income family, it is quite possible that the woman ends up working both inside and outside the home, eventually leading to overwork and burnout. It is important that when both the husband and wife are engaged in the workplace, the husband also should carry a significant load of household responsibilities, so that his wife is not overworked. Action steps for dual-income families. Understand true value. If you gain the whole world and lose your home, family, and children, you have missed true value. Some of the most admired industrialists of our day are people with divorces, second and third marriages. They may have transformed industries, built great corporations, and be world-renowned, but they have broken families. One then tends to wonder why they could not manage just one organization called marriage which had just one wife. It is sad that they could not manage their own homes. We need to choose what is more valuable, a wonderful marriage and godly children, instead of being admired by the world. Make a conscious effort to balance time. Although the challenges and pressures are great, we need to make a conscious and sustained effort to distribute our time and energy appropriately, time with God, time at home, time in the house of God, and time at work. Amy reminds me of this constantly and I try to always keep this in check. Develop the power of two. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When there is the power of two, there is double strength, and we can accomplish twice as much. If spouses can come together in all areas, together they can accomplish much more and push harder, further, and higher than if each one tried to go at it alone. Husbands too must learn to fulfill their roles at home, especially when the wives are also employed outside. In our own lives, although Amy is trained as a medical doctor and was pursuing her master's degree, she made a deliberate choice to place her professional career on hold until our children were old enough. It was not easy, in fact, sometimes very painful. However, when both kids were in full-day school, Amy was able to gradually step back into the workplace, being fully assured that she had done her part and sacrificed for her children when they needed her most. Reflection questions. What are the steps you will be able to take that will help you avoid the common pitfalls faced by dual-income families? This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.